California has been dealing with overcrowding in its prisons for years, and it's far from over. 2 weeks ago, federal judges granted the state an extension on a looming deadline to reduce the prison population or face the mandatory release of 8,000 inmates come January 27, 2014. This is just the latest development in a case that's been making its way through the courts since 2008, centered around inadequate medical care for inmates. The state has been ordered to reduce its prison population down to about 140% of capacity. It's now closer to 160%. But those numbers do little to reflect the actual stories of what's going on inside of the state's prison system for the men and women who are still there, about 134,000 people. That's why KALW is working with the San Quentin Prison Report to bring you real stories about life behind bars in radio pieces produced by inmates themselves.
The San Quentin Prison Report.
SQPR is a media collective of prisoners and volunteers from the community working together to give voice to personal growth, social transformation, and restorative justice.
SQPR.
Our mission is to create documentaries, films, and audio programs that broaden and challenge the conversation around crime, punishment, and rehabilitation in the United States.
A single crime can take place in a matter of seconds, but its effects can last a lifetime for victims, offenders, and also the wider community. The formal justice system usually doesn't address that aspect, but the restorative justice approach seeks healing for everyone affected by a crime. Often, it's through a practice called victim-offender dialogue. Today, we'll hear about the transformative effect this practice had on a man currently serving time in San Quentin. Tommy Shakur Ross will tell you that story. But a note for our listeners, the media lab at San Quentin is in the old laundry facility, and every so often the rusty pipes make noises that you'll hear. Here's Tommy Shakur Ross.
Recently, a prisoner named Kairi met with the sister of a man he murdered 23 years ago. In restorative justice terms, this is known as victim-offender dialogue. He expresses how he felt just moments before their meeting.
I just really didn't know what it was going to look like, so therefore it was a lot of fear, it was a lot of anxiety, uncertainty.
Victim-offender dialogue is a process that brings the victim and the offender together to talk about the crime.
Once I got in there and I reached over the table to shake her hand, I knew that this was going to be a real nice dialogue. One of the most profound thing that I was really feeling was that I didn't want to go in and re-injure her.
In 1990, Kairi was arrested, convicted of first-degree murder, and sentenced to 26 years to life. At San Quentin, he involved himself in a restorative justice program called Victim Offender Education Group. He says this program helped him to prepare for the dialogue with the victim's sister.
I wasn't aware of the impact that I was causing to her family, and not just to her family, but the community at large. So when you sit across from someone that you've harmed, you're going to hear from them personally what that effect was and how that affected their lives. Initially, she and I both broke out and we just cried.
Kairi also learned some things about the murder victim of his crime that he hadn't known prior to talking with her.
He was 42 years old at the time. I didn't know that. I didn't know that he flew airplanes. I didn't know that. I didn't know that his father had died like a week and a half before I murdered him.
Victim-offender dialogue is based on the principles of restorative justice, which emphasizes accountability, empathy, and amends. It places the people impacted by crime at its center. In this instance, she wanted to know why he killed her brother. She wanted answers.
She wanted to know, who was I before I murdered her brother? What my life was like? She asked me what happened on the day that I murdered her brother. And she went on for the third question, was that, who am I today?
Kairi told the victim that he was an addict and spent 10 years chasing drugs, that he had built up a lot of anger, despair, and rage because he had become an addict. He also told her more about the gruesome details of the murder, but out of respect to the victim, we won't discuss that here. At the end, Kyrie began to tell her where he is in his life today.
The programs and everything that I've been involved in since I've been here at San Quentin has given me an opportunity to really take a look at my life.
Kyrie is a certified drug counselor and has been a participant and facilitator in a number of self-help and rehabilitative groups that focus on addiction recovery counseling and restorative justice themes.
In order for restorative justice to actually work, the offender and the victim needs to be a part of the process so that some understanding on both sides could really come to some full understanding of what this feels like, what this looks like, and what we can do to bridge that gap or to repair the injuries.
The amends process can start by asking how, if possible, can the victim be made whole again. Shortly after their meeting, Kyrie wrote the victim a thank you letter to thank her for having the courage to come and meet with him. And she wrote him back, expressing her feelings and what it felt like for her.
Dear Kyrie, although it has been 5 months since I met with you, I have thought often since then of our encounter. When I received your letter of thanks, I was very moved by your honesty and by learning that our meeting has helped you in your healing process. I determined at that time that I also wanted to write a letter of thanks to you, but I needed more time to understand my feelings. I will tell you that our meeting was one of the most profound encounters of my life. Why? Because both of us were speaking from a very vulnerable place in ourselves, a place at the essence of whom we each are. Most daily encounters are not that way.
Kyrie shares how he felt after reading her letter for the first time.
I broke down in tears because when I wrote my letter of thank you for her being a part of this dialogue, I wasn't really sure in my mind how she had felt. So knowing that I was able to give her what she needed from me, that really, really made a big difference.
Apparently, the dialogue profoundly impacted both Kyrie and the victim in a powerful way. It set them on a path towards healing, honor, and validation.
I've always wondered what forgiveness would look like. I know that in that process, it was a hard thing to ask for forgiveness because I was living with so much shame, you know, so much anger towards myself. In her response, she said, "Kyrie, I forgive you."
Some victims who choose forgiveness can experience a deep sense of healing, but some victims may not want to ever be bothered or heard from by an offender. Just remember, if people can harm, people can heal. If people can harm, people can also help and serve. At its core, one can see the inner relationship between all of our actions and their effects, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm Tommy Shakur Ross with the San Quentin Prison Report. I'm out.